Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
You're welcome back. The COVID pandemic and its associated lockdowns have led to a sharp drop in average incomes, but as we know, the drop has not been borne equally. In fact, many workers have seen their incomes and savings hold up very well, and some in particular sectors have seen theirs swell to new highs. In recent days, the Green Party Minister of State, with responsibility for social inclusion, that's Joe O'Brien, he's written to the Minister for Finance proposing a new one-off solidarity tax on high earners and on companies that have grown during the pandemic, which he argues would help our economic recovery and also lift the public mood. Minister Joe O'Brien joins me now on the line. I'm also joined by Fine Gael spokesperson on equality, Jennifer Carroll McNeil. You're both very welcome to the programme. I'll turn to you, Minister, first of all. Lay out your stall here. Explain the idea and the logic behind it.
Sure. Thanks, Cormac. Well, I suppose the important context is actually this week, and all running through this week is an event called the Social Inclusion Forum. It's an event that the Department of Social Protection runs every year. And hundreds of organisations and people from around the country, if it was normal, would gather in person, but we're gathering virtually this week to discuss issues of social inclusion on the ground and poverty on the ground and its real impact on people. And I suppose it was in this context last week and realising that the Social Inclusion Forum was coming up, and actually recognising the fact that this is actually an IMF proposal. By the way, this is not me pulling an idea out of my head.
Once you put the idea forward, and you have done to the Minister for Finance, it's also your idea. You're the one who's brought it into the realm of Irish politics. Now, we don't have a huge amount of time, so can you briefly set out the logic and explain the idea for me?
Well, the IMF have proposed, and I think it's worth considering, that a one-off solidarity tax should be looked at by OECD countries because of what you've described there, what's called a K-shaped recovery, where some people are doing quite well and an awful lot of people, particularly some of the people that I'm listening to and talking to during the week, are doing a lot worse off as well.
Yeah. Are you saying a one-off tax on high income, for example?
What the IMF have proposed is high income earners, but also corporations that are doing extraordinarily well out of COVID as well. And so we're talking about the likes of Amazon, pharmaceutical companies, and so on, Zoom platforms, things like that.
So multinationals?
Yeah, in essence.
And indigenous companies?
No, I'm going off the IMF proposal, but I wouldn't be keen on any kind of extra measure for small to medium enterprises in Ireland. They're struggling as it is. It's the opposite way that we need to go with them.
You can't discriminate in that way in taxation,
can you? This is businesses and earners who are earning way and above what's normal. I suppose that's the point.
So you can't discriminate in that way in terms of taxation, can you?
Absolutely. Why not? It's within our gift to do so.
Foreign companies might face a new tax in Ireland. Is that right?
Again, I'll go back to the fact that this is an IMF proposal.
You're telling me your proposal. This is an IMF idea that you have adopted and you're putting forward to the Minister of Finance. But you're telling me that a foreign company might face, under your proposal, a new taxation if they're operating here.
Look, it's a proposal that I think it's worth considering. And that's basically why I wrote to the Minister for Finance to ask him to consider it.
Okay.
Now, interestingly, I mean, he has suggested that it could be brought to the Commission on Taxation and Welfare. And that Commission on Taxation and Welfare will hopefully be set up soon.
Okay.
And interestingly, in the programme for government, it does actually have a remit to actually look at the implications of COVID under the areas of tax and welfare as well. So it's within the bounds of what we've agreed.
So let's bring in Jennifer Carroll McNeil of Fine Gael here. The nuts and bolts have to be worked out. But the idea is some people have done quite well during lockdown. Others have not. A solidarity, once-off taxation, good idea?
we're already doing that essentially, and it's clear you can't discriminate between companies like that in terms of tax any more than you can discriminate between employees from different origins or, you know, in terms of tax. We have that IMF proposal was directed at advanced economies generally, recognizing that many of them are not progressive. And what does progressive means? It means the more you earn, the more tax you pay. And we have already one of the most progressive tax systems in the world. And that's not the Department of Finance saying it, it's the OECD and the ESRI and the Irish Taxation Institute. So we have had people who are working and who have kept their jobs, that's true. And the tax take from them is helping to pay for the transfers that we are making to people who have lost their jobs, to businesses who need money, and to the employment wage.
But it's hardly enough. We've spent billions in lockdown extra over and above what we had proposed before we ever heard of this pandemic. Surely and people have suffered, as you've outlined yourself, far more than people are allowed and able to operate working remotely from home, or maybe you've seen their business increase during lockdown. It's not a bad idea, this solidarity tax, is it?
Well, sorry, hold on a second. We've spent 30 billion euro extra really on this pandemic between direct transfers and the extra supports going right across government departments, from local government to all of the different departments that have tried to do more to support communities during this pandemic. That's been financed in part by borrowing that everybody is going to have to pay back. It's also been financed by the tax take from people who are working. And what we've tried to do is bring in the supports for those who need it, and in a nuanced way. And we're trying to continue that to provide supports to businesses who really need it. But we also need to recognise that we need to keep confidence in the economy. We have developed an extraordinary amount of household savings, that's true. But what we need is for that household savings not to be retained where people are fearful for the future, but actually spent. And we are actually really, that's really important part of our economic recovery.
You'd frighten the minister.
Sorry, Cormac, you're saying?
You'd frighten people in terms of this new taxation. That's basically what Jennifer is saying. Let people spend
that. I'm not talking about frightening people. I'm talking about the basic tenets of economic policy, which is that when you're coming out of a recovery, you need to try and stimulate confidence as much as spending. We know that unlike other recessions, there is that bulk of household savings, and we need people, rather than being taxed on it, to actually go out and spend it in those industries that have been hurt the most.
That's exactly what I was saying. Some people, if they fear another taxation, they mightn't spend as freely as they otherwise would.
They may not.
Yeah, absolutely, Cormac. Look, and this is a point that I've made as well over the last few days. If you give someone who's living on 203 euros an extra 10, 20 or 30 euros per week, they're going to spend it and it will go back into the economy. So there is an economic argument as well. And one thing that's, I think, important to point out as well, 2019, we were coming to the end of a couple of good years economically. We still had 9% of children in consistent poverty. And, you know, 2008, the end of the Celtic Tiger, 4.2% consistent poverty rate. So I suppose my point is about raising these issues over the last couple of days is that we've had poverty in this country when there's been a lot of money about. And if we continue to do the same things, we'll still have that rate of poverty.
Jennifer?
So it's about broadening
the debate.
It's really
important. It's really important. I mean, Seamus Coffey, one of Ireland's leading economists, said in December 2019, actually, that Ireland was one of the few developed countries that had seen high income growth and falling inequality in the last 30 years. We have seen from the ESRI that, you know, the no other tax system in Ireland does more to reduce household income inequality than Ireland's. And that's because of our broad-based universal social charge.
Yet the minister is saying that we have nearly 1 in 10 children in consistent poverty.
But also that the higher rate of income tax kicks in. Now, one of the things that this is in the programme for government as well, it's important to say this, we have agreed tax measures. And part of what we've agreed actually from next year, if it's possible to do so, is to index link the tax ban. So what does that mean?
You're saying, Jennifer, that you're doing responsible for social inclusion.
Let me get the question out.
You're saying we're doing an awful lot. The minister is saying we need to do a little bit more, and he's giving an example as to why. He's saying that 9% of children in this country are in consistent poverty. Why not do more then?
But this is all part of how the programme for government has been put together, how every part of it, including the social inclusion model, including the economic model that supports that. Everything that we do in social inclusion comes from tax revenue, from private enterprise, from private individuals. That is how we support the state. And you can't look at one part of the state without recognising that you have to earn the money to be able to pay for everything else. And we sometimes miss this in our conversations about the Irish economy. You have to have money to spend dependent on other parts of the economy. And we have to do that by having a strong and functioning economy with high levels of employment, which, by the way, are the most important things to overcome poverty and social inclusion.
Does that defeat your argument, Minister, for this wealth solidarity tax?
I'm not hearing anything there that would. I mean, I don't think anyone will debate that we need a strong economy. And I totally agree with the Deputy as well in terms of employment being the best way out of poverty. I suppose my concern is that at the end of 2019, we had 9% of children in consistent poverty. We're after putting down a very tough year, and I'd be worried about what that rate is going to be that we're going to see in the statistics later this year as well. It's my job, in essence, as Minister with responsibility for the roadmap for social inclusion, to hit that main target. And the main target, which is, by the way, agreed in the programme for government, is that we try to reach 2% consistent poverty by 2025.
Okay.
That's extremely ambitious.
That is agreed.
But
that is agreed.
Job.
And what
exactly.
else? The other parts that are agreed. The other parts that are agreed are what we're doing in relation to taxation. The other
yes.
parts that are
this.
Agreed are what we're doing in relation to the. Sorry, there was an interruption there.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All of the other parts of the programme for government are agreed as well, and no one part is taken in isolation. They
Absolutely.
All sit together and they work together.
Okay.
And it's unusual to be going out in this way. Like, I support you and what you're doing in social inclusion, and I support this, and I signed up to the whole programme for government, and I hope
yes,
you
did
too.
Okay, well look, I think there's a bit of road left in this debate. You can debate it among yourselves. I'll keep the Minister for 1 second. Jennifer Carroll McNeill, thank you very much indeed, but I want to ask you, Minister, about the news that we're hearing today, breaking this afternoon, about the we heard the news about AstraZeneca and the problems there. Now we've learned about more difficulties in relation to the supply of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Are we going to hit our targets here?
Well, look, it's frustrating, and I think everyone is feeling that frustration today. It remains to be seen, I suppose, whether we're going to hit the targets. I mean, we're monitoring the situation closely. It was disappointing today in relation to that news on Johnson & Johnson. But, you know, I have full confidence in our health professionals and in the rollout team to use all the vaccines that are safe to use, and to use them when they're safe to use, and to get them into arms as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you say it remains to be seen as to whether we'll hit our targets. There's a bit of a question mark, is there?
Yeah, look, obviously with the news today, I think there is a possibility they will be delayed somewhat, but I suppose it depends how quickly the assessment mm-hmm. is done as well. It could be a couple of days, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion. I'd love for you to see my text screen here. A lot of questions about the AstraZeneca and so on, and the supply of Johnson & Johnson. Yet we haven't seen the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach and the Green Party leader, Eamon Ryan, speaking about this issue today. I mean, should they? I mean, do we need more communication from government?
Well, I'm looking at Stephen Donnelly as I speak now, and he's in the studio here in RT, so I think maybe one of your colleagues will be talking to him soon. No, I don't think there is any there's any shortage of people willing to explain the situation. And like, what I would say as well is that, you know, I heard Dr. Mary Favier speaking this morning in relation to the situation at AstraZeneca, and, you know, I was particularly reassured in terms of the public health priority that is central to all the decisions that are being made.
Yeah, I understand. I don't know if you heard our conversation with Stefan de Keersmaeker. He's a European Commission spokesperson for health, and I was trying to ascertain his level of knowledge about the Johnson & Johnson decision to pause the supply of vaccines to the European Union. Now, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, as you well know, makes up a significant proportion of the vaccines that we had intended to use here in this country. But he was unwilling to tell me if was reticent, at least, about whether it was a Johnson & Johnson decision or if they made it in conjunction with the European Union. Were you surprised by it? Was government surprised by this decision today?
Well, yeah, I think we were surprised. I mean, I wish I could shed more light on it in terms of the nature of the intricacies of that decision. But I think we're all surprised and disappointed. But, you know, we've had surprises and disappointments along the way over the last couple of months, and we've overcome them all, and I'm confident that we'll overcome this one as well.
OK, so a bit of a question mark over the targets as we stand right now. I might read to you one or two of the texts in relation to your idea on the solidarity wealth tax before I let you go, Minister. Is Minister O'Brien happy to leave the €400 million unspent in the dormant accounts fund in light of unmet need exposed by the pandemic?
Well, interestingly enough, I have responsibility over the Dormant Accounts Fund. It's not that quite large. Dormant Accounts Fund is actually people's savings as well. So we have to be careful about how much we take out of that because people can come back for it. So it's not all our money to take out in one go. Mm. We do use it every year for a variety of social inclusion measures in a measured way to make sure that we don't dip too far into it so that we have to end up paying people back.
I might bring you one more tax that goes, I think, to the heart of what you're proposing, and another tax. And this goes to any conversation in terms of any extra tax that's being proposed in this country or any country for that matter. But a texter says, there's far too much wastage in public finances that go into the pocket of the golden circle instead of using that cash to help poor people on low incomes. And I suppose it speaks to the faith people have in government and governmental agencies to deliver public services efficiently and effectively. I mean, can you really put your hand on your heart and promise people that any extra money collected will be spent effectively and efficiently, given our record in this country?
Well, look, one of the reasons I got into politics, Cormac, was to, I suppose, make a space and give people voice who've gotten a bad deal through their lives. And, you know, interestingly, tomorrow in the Social Inclusion Forum, the theme of the workshop is making sure voices are heard. And, you know, I'll do everything I can, as you'll have seen in recent days, to, I suppose, direct resources to those most in need. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this job.
OK, look, we'll leave it there for the time being. Minister St. Joe O'Brien of the Green Party, thank you very much indeed for joining us this afternoon. Beforehand, Jennifer Carroll McNeill of Fine Gael. We'll take a quick break.